Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
The word love is very broad in the English vocabulary. You can use it to define something very special, or someone very special, or a bag of chips, or your favorite soda. It's just that broad. But I want to take a look at how God defines love, and what value or meaning does Jesus assign to that word. So not focusing so much how we use that, but how God uses that through the lens of Jesus. And he tells us the two greatest commandments in the Bible involve love. And he gives it to us in Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands." So if anybody ever tries to sell you a judgmental version of God, I want you to take them to this scripture, that God is about love. And Jesus defines scripture and summarizes and reduces scripture to these two things. He said, there's a lot of things taught, but you can hang it all on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And this is so important that he emphasizes two very important ways that we love that are fundamental to life and to our faith journey. Love the Lord and love your neighbor. And in these ways, we fulfill the requirements of the law. In these ways, we do the expectations that God has of us. So, and really interesting, as I was just reflecting on this, how there's this connection between these two pathways of love. He connects our love with God to our love for people. He connects those two things. These two commandments are so important. Love God and love your neighbor. And so these are meant to be connected. Our love for people is an extension of our love for God. If we love God, it eventually leads us back to the place of loving our neighbor. So seeing how we're all here and we're sitting here, I assume that everybody understands at least the fundamentals of loving God, right? So I want to focus on loving your neighbor. Is that okay? Look at somebody and say, love your neighbor. So that's what I want to, the next few weeks, I want to focus on loving your neighbor. What does it mean to love your neighbor? Say that one more time with me. Love your neighbor. And it's an important thing to talk about, right? Because if Jesus said, this is one of the two most important commandments that there are in Scripture. Love God and love your neighbor. So when we talk about love your neighbor, we're talking about something so fundamental to our faith. Something that's so important and critical for us to understand and wrap our head around. Love your neighbor. Now, I've had the opportunity, I don't know if you want to call it the privilege, of living in a lot of different neighborhoods. Maybe it was my parents just drug me around the world. But I lived close to big cities. I lived far from big cities. I lived in neighborhoods where they steal stuff. I lived in neighborhoods where they leave the doors unlocked. So I've had the opportunity of living a lot of different neighborhoods and all kinds of different neighbors. You got the noisy neighbors. You got the nosy neighbors. You got the quiet neighbors. You got the neighbors that bring you something when you move into the neighborhood. You got all kinds of, you got young neighbors, you got older neighbors, right? You got cranky neighbors, you got neighbors that complain on you to the HOA. You got neighbors that you kind of, you know, they're doing music too late on Saturday night and you secretly call the police on them. It's okay. Which type of neighbors do we need to love? Which type of, you know, if we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, who exactly are we loving? Are we loving all of them? Are we loving some of them? Is this concept of a neighbor literal? Is it figurative? Because I think it's important that we get this right, because this is such an important commandment, right? What does a neighbor look like? If I'm going to love them, first I have to know who they are. Who qualifies as a neighbor? You know, I know that Peter came to Jesus and he said, look, if a brother sins against me 7 times, do I still have to keep on forgiving him, right? So there's something inside of us that's like, okay, well, I understand, love your neighbor, but how, you know, who exactly qualifies as a neighbor? Like, who do I have to love as myself? That's kind of a big thing. Jesus clarifies it in Luke 10:29. This person kind of probes him a little further, and Jesus, he asks, Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? If I'm supposed to love my neighbor, and that's such a weighty commandment, who is it? And Jesus responds by telling the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was not related by blood. The Good Samaritan was not necessarily living next door, but the Samaritan was on the same path. In a sense, it's not about where you live or where you come from. It's about who God has placed in your path. Who is it that you work with? Who is it that you spend time around? Who is it that you pass by during the week? These are some of your neighbors. Even if you just pass them on the street, Jesus shows us in the story of the Good Samaritan, that person qualifies as a neighbor. And so we must learn to love them, learn what that love looks like. And what does that mean? What does it mean to love them? What would it look like, I want you to think about this for a second, what would it look like to love someone the way that you love yourself? Well, some of us really pamper ourselves, right? Go to the nail salon, ladies, you go get haircuts, you get new clothes, you get new shoes. There's lots of stuff that you do for yourself, right? You go out and you eat nice food. You go to the grocery store and you buy organic food, whatever. You take care of yourself. Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So what would that look like to love your neighbor? I started to think about this. If I were to be able to, you know, be on the outside and give anything to myself, if I could give myself anything, right? I could give myself a large sum of money. I could give myself a house by the water. I could give myself my favorite car, my dream car. What would I give myself if I could give myself anything? And I thought the most important thing that I could give myself is the gift of a relationship with God. There's a lot of things in this world that are temporal and they have value now, but they're a diminishing asset, right? They lose their value over time, and definitely they lose their value when you transfer from this life to the life to come. But the most important thing that I could give is the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If I could give myself anything, I would start with that. That would be the first thing. That would be the most important thing. So money will eventually spend, houses eventually get old, cars will break down, but it's our relationship with God that is eternal. So I think the greatest gift that we could give ourselves, and we could even give a neighbor, is the gift of an opportunity to know God. And Jesus said this really well in Matthew 6:19. He said, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them and where thieves break in and steal, but rather store up your treasures in heaven where moss and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'd still like the house on the water. I'd still like the nice car. I'd still like a lump sum of money. I'd like to hit the lottery. But the most important thing is our relationship with God. I would not trade any of those things for the beauty and the value and the importance of knowing God. That doesn't fade away. It doesn't diminish in value. It grows in value. It's not a depreciating asset. It's an asset that grows and grows in this life and the life to come. So how do we love our neighbors as we love ourselves? The thought that we start with and the thought that we always should end with is, how can I share the person of Jesus Christ? How can I share the opportunity to know God in a deeper way? For some relationships, we have to build up to that, all right? If we're honest, we just can't go straight into that with some relationships in our lives. But to me, that is the place, the ultimate place that we need to go, right? Greater than any money, greater than any material thing, greater than any favor or opportunity that I could give someone else is the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you want someone to get ahead in this life or in the life to come, to secure their future, the greatest way to show concern for them is to introduce them to the person of Jesus. It is the most transformative thing in this life and in the life to come. Introduce them to the opportunity of a lifetime and the lifetime to come. The way that I've been reading this scripture and meditating on it is that these two greatest commandments revolve around love. Loving God and loving neighbors. These two commandments are not disconnected, but they're connected. The more I love God, the more I have a responsibility to love people, even when it's not easy, even when it's difficult, even when people frustrate me, even when I might need to share something that is uncomfortable for me to share, I'm going to step outside of my comfort zone and share because I want to love God and love my neighbor. When I'm loving my neighbor, I'm showing that I love God. That's what John essentially said. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that doesn't love doesn't really know God. Right? And how can you love God that you haven't seen if you can't love the people that you have seen? Right? So our command is to love God and love people. Love our neighbors. Love the people God places in our path. And the more that I really meditate on this, I think the greatest way that I can love someone is to love their soul and love their eternal destination enough to say, hey, man, I really care about you, enough to tell you about the person of Jesus. To meet him for the first time or to grow even deeper in relationship with him. So for some people, that is the beauty of telling somebody about Jesus for the first time. For other people, it's walking with them on the journey and seeing them and helping them grow deeper in God. That's the greatest gift. That's the greatest gift. Yes, there's other things, other acts of kindness, other things we can help out financially. Yes, that's great. Those are good things too. But the greatest thing, and the thing that we build up to, the thing that is the pinnacle, the thing that is the focus, is the introduction, sharing Jesus. I can do lots of things for my neighbor, and I'm excited to serve my neighbors in various ways and capacities. But make no mistake, the greatest gift is Jesus. Better than money or houses or cars is the good news. Better than a new fit, better than a new phone, better than a new purse, better than a new shoes, is to give Jesus the opportunity of knowing him. As we go throughout these next few weeks, I want us to meditate on this thing. What does it mean to love my neighbors? I'm essentially loving the people that God has allowed to be in my path. God has me on a journey, but who has God placed in my journey for me to either love on or be loved by? The ultimate goal for any of us is, in regards to loving our neighbor, should be to love them by giving them the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us pray on that. Let us meditate on that this week. Who does God want me to love on this week? Who does God want me to love on in this season, What neighbor, what person, what coworker, what friend, what family member, what person that crosses my path? How can I love my neighbor? Bow your heads with me. Let me pray with you. God, I thank you that you stir up in us love, a godly love, not the type of love that is superficial, not some of the ways we throw around the word love, but that agape love that you talk about in Scripture. God, let us learn to love you with an undivided heart, love you fully, and help us to love our neighbor. God, if we don't get to the place where we help our neighbors and love our neighbors, there is no substance or evidence of our faith and relationship with you. Our relationship with you stirs our heart to love others. So God, stir our hearts. God, even if we're uncomfortable at times sharing our faith, sharing about Jesus, God, let us get beyond the things that we're comfortable with so that we can better love our neighbors, love our world, God, and knowing that this is temporal. This is a temporary state that we are in this world. But there are eternal things at stake. And there are people that you love so much that you came and you died on the cross for. That God, you want us to be that person, that messenger, that one that shares your love with them. God, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that you take us on a journey of knowing how to love you more and to love our neighbors more. And as we're praying, as we have our heads bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I've kind of drifted away, and I want to reconnect today. I want to reconnect right now. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I've never really connected with Jesus, accepted him into my heart. I've never surrendered my life to him. I want to do that today. If either of those are you, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today, right where you are. If you'll just slip up your hand, let me pray with you. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. The greatest decision that we make is to say yes to Jesus, whether it's for the first time or we're saying, Jesus, I'm coming back. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with you, who agrees with this, you can pray this with us too. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for loving me before I ever loved you. Jesus, I need you in my life. I'm sorry for my sins, my shortcomings, my failures, my bad choices. Jesus, forgive me. Give me a fresh start. Apply your perfect work on the cross to my life. I receive your free gift of salvation, forgiveness, redemption, and reconnection with my Heavenly Father. Teach me how to live a life that pleases the Father. Help me to be like you. Give me the strength to walk this out. Give me the wisdom to walk this out. And be with me as I walk. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Wow. Come on, let's give God the praise today. That's so good. That's so good. I want to encourage you, if you rededicated your life today, or if you gave your life to Christ for the first time, I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. Get connected either in this church or get connected in a church. It's so important to be connected and go on a journey of faith with people that are going to help you and pray with you and love on you and walk with you. If you don't have a church, we'd love to be that for you. And we'll if you give us your information, we'll call you back. We will walk with you. Amen? I'll leave you with this thought. If Jesus is for you, you will be. undefeated. Amen. How many believe that?
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.